Greetings, everyone, and welcome to our show today. I am Queen Mon Nutebek Su here on our live broadcast for Ament Communications Network. This is a social network where we support progressive, green, sustainable initiatives, small urban businesses, Aboriginal, tribal, sustainable initiatives, ecological responsibility, at-risk youth, in the process of growing our own sustainable communities. I would like to welcome our show for our show today, a special guest running for the 5th District City Council, Edward Bell. He has a platform for leadership through service for better communities. I met him actually at a Mary Kelly Center event where he was supporting the initiative of our parent-teacher conference. Team Kihei actually engaged the community. He actually wrote a rap song talking about the disparities in our educational system and decided to take his word to power in engaging the community, bringing parents, youth, administrators, teachers together, and perhaps coming with an understanding of conciliation and how we might be able to solve some of the taxing issues. So I know that this young man is out in the community working to solve those problems. He has a platform of progressive education that produces critical thinking of our citizens focused upon providing solutions. He also supports social entrepreneurship that serves as the empire for new economic growth and community development and healthy communities as an asset that sustains new growth and development. So I wanted to welcome our young and up-and-coming, a person who is running for election, Edward Bell, for his promise of what he wants to do to serve the community. So we'll listen in and be able to see what he has to share momentarily. I just want you all to support this broadcast by sharing the information. Tell people to call in. If you have a question, you can press the number 1 on this live broadcast and actually be able to post any questions that you might have. So share this number, area code 347-989-8509, and engage in an open conversation with Brother Bell after we do our introductions. So I see him live. I had him posted on our board here, and so now I will bring him in. I just want to welcome you, brother, for being on our show today. How are you? Thank you again. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Edward Bell, candidate for 5th District in District City Council, Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a young man from Kansas City. This is my community. I was born and raised here. Graduated from Bishop Hogan High School when it was still Bishop Hogan. I've always been engaged in community activities, empowering and engaging people on all levels, on all fronts. Currently, for the past 8 years, I've been in education. I've been a principal, a dean. I'm currently teaching this year as well, and just decided to expand that platform of service by running for city council.
That is excellent. For a young man to be a principal, is that what I heard you say?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm currently working on my administrative certification so I can go back to being the principal and hopefully assistant superintendent or something like that to make the education policy, because there's a big disconnect between policymakers in Missouri standpoint where DESE is in Jefferson City and where the classroom is in Kansas City. Big disconnect. We need to bridge that gap, close that gulf.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's why I know for certain, you know, that you are definitely somebody who wants to be a problem solver and not just dictate or talk about the situation, and that you're actually out here in, on the ground, you know, connecting with people. I saw you today at our local watering hole, which we call
Eggs and Enlightenment. Eggs and Enlightenment.
Yes. And so it was very good to see you there. Of course, I didn't see actually that many of the other people who were running for election that were promoting that particular site location. But I know that it is a group of very key people that go out and social activists, community activists, and they're out on the ground. So I appreciate your presence there. I wanted to kind of announce that this is I'm in Communications. I want our guests to feel free to call in. Anyone who is listening on the air now can call in that number 347-989-8509. Press the number 1. I will see you on the board, and it will give me a virtual hand up to let me know that you have a question and that you're not just listening. And if you have any questions throughout our broadcast, I want you to feel free to go ahead and be heard and be able to have a live response. So give us a little bit about your platform. As I said, I had read a little bit of your introduction from your website that you have. This is also the Facebook social network that has the beauty of posting this up immediately so that people can see it in the stream and actually be able to communicate. So please give us a little bit more of the background as far as your social entrepreneurship, healthy community.
Yes, ma'am. So the platform, I'll just take it one at a time. The progressive education really just speaks to producing critical thinkers. Education and learning is lifelong. So when I say education, I'm not just talking about elementary and high school. I'm definitely thinking about college. I'm thinking about grown folk who want to continue their education. I'm thinking about our elders in the community who want to go back and learn new skills. And so what we need to do is have programs and places where people can access those opportunities. Secondly, the social entrepreneurship, and that's pretty expansive, so I'll take some time with that. That is really aimed at helping people become empowered by the means of their labor, helping them to own their means of their labor, because honestly, nobody's going to pay you what you're worth except for yourself. And so what you need to do, what people should do, what we all need to do, is just really focus on ways that we can provide a service, a product, or a new way of doing things in a way that we can become empowered and take ownership of that. And so everybody's not going to go to college. Some people want to go learn a trade, but they need to learn how to run the business so they can own their trade. And so it's really about taking those good business practices and producing something that's great. But then the second step with that is also doing good business that takes care of the community. So you can have an initiative where, yes, you make money, but your focus is really to take care of the community. I'll give you another example on a smaller scale. As a teacher, I'd have kids draw tennis shoes in my classroom all the time. And, I mean, they would draw Jordans, all kind of nice, I mean, just all the time. And instead of me writing them up or suspending kids because I hate to put a kid out the classroom, I would say, look, let's put together a portfolio. I want you to draw all the tennis shoes that you can think of. And then we're going to find a manufacturer who's going to produce and manufacture these shoes. And then we're going to price them at a point where when you buy one pair of shoes, you're really buying two, and we'll take that second pair of shoes and send it to a kid in the country who doesn't have a pair of shoes, or even locally here who a kid doesn't have a pair of shoes. And so what we're doing is taking that business practice and serving a social need in social entrepreneurship. And so it's really an expansive platform that allows people to have connectivity between what they're doing and who they're serving. And then
You gave them real time experience and connected them immediately to where they are, you know, in their heart right then and there. And that was pinnacle. So you, there's, you know, we've always, I was a teacher, of course, and so just talking about the higher thinking, critical thinking levels, you just shocked. It's amazing that you were able to move them from right brain to left brain and, all, you know, all the way to application.
Right, and it's really just about amalgamating your skills to produce something that you don't have present, and that's opportunity. And, you know, I serve a God that makes the impossible probable. So that means there's always opportunity. We just got to go find it, access it, actualize it, and work it. And so that's really what the progressive education is really aimed at doing as well. That last platform, healthy communities really speaks to the overall health of your community, not just your physical health, but your behavioral health, your mental health, your spiritual health, your financial health, how the landscape looks, how people perceive where you are, because people are not going to spend dollars they're not comfortable at. People are not going to go where they're not comfortable. And so if we have parts of our city that are being perceived as less than, that means those people in that area are perceived as less than. And that's a very unhealthy dynamic overall. And so what we have to do is to partner up and get out of these silos, because a lot of people are doing a lot of good work on the ground. They are. But we're not feeling that great reverberation because we're not having that great coordination. And so what we need to do is really bring people together in a collaborative effort in a way that we don't take you out of your core competencies. Because once we get you out of what you do best, we're not getting the best product. And so when we can really put things together in a synergistic fashion with what you do at your core and what I do at my core really produces something that serves and helps our community, then we'll have a healthy community. And so we really have to address those disconnects, those broken relationships, and those dysfunctions that prohibit us from having that healthy community.
All right. All right. That's excellent. Now, it can't, let me just give you, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here.
Yes.
But
yes.
The ideas of some of what you were saying just kind of sparked a lot of interest. One of the arguments is that we really don't have community anymore. There are just people who are corralled in neighborhoods, basically trapped. There's no economic circulation. It's actually a very hostile field. And so the idea of running for 5th District, where you're going to be at a pinnacle level of engaging and creating community, what are your just comments and opinions, first of all, about the idea of community? You know, to me, community does have a bank. It does own property. It does have institutions that you have control over. They have their own small businesses that they own, invested. And so the neighbors are, and the people that live in the community are actually intrinsic in the community. And another, I'm going to just throw this in. I'm going to let you answer, but I'm going to throw this in. The police and the teachers live in the community too, and they have an investment in the children in the community. Okay, so let me get an answer.
Well, I totally agree overall with your premise of what community is. There's definitely those different tiered activities, the personal living, the where you worship, where you shop, where you go to relax, where you go to eat when you get tired of cooking at home, how those relationships and those people in those places and spaces work together. I totally agree. I think we really have gotten away from a sense of community, but I know if we go back and really evaluate how we got there, we can really directly pinpoint how we can fix it. You know, we always talk about these broken families and the man not in the house, but let us not be naive. 30, 40 years ago when the welfare system came into place, the choice was you can't have that male at home or you can get this check. And so we know a lot of fathers, instead of having their family starve, you know, left. And there was some sneaking back, I guess, you know, from what I'm told, but it became a trend where we begin to value this government help over us trying to help ourselves and working together. And so that has broken down our community. What we need to do is go back to valuing ourselves and what we can produce. I think the first way that you find value in people is that you realize they're made by God. And so once you see that they're a creation of God, when you see that they're something that has that quality of life that can produce something, that opportunity again, then you find value and you begin to want to preserve that and protect that. And that'll reverberate onto your community because this is where I'm at. This is where I'm trying to access this opportunity. This is where I'm living. This is where I'm playing. This is where I'm breathing. This is where I'm trying to raise my kids, my family, trying to expand my family. So I have to preserve this thing called community. And once people begin to buy into that, they'll create that tie-in. what we can do with the community, though, as is definitely fix up that perception. How do we do that? First of all, people look use their eyes to gain their first perception. So we got to clean up how things look, fixing those infrastructure problems, making sure sidewalks and curbs are in place, making sure that we're doing something about the dumping. I would say even ease the restrictions on the amount of trash that you can put out. Two bags isn't enough for some communities. Also, what we need to do is not just tear down houses, because it costs $8,500 to $10,000 to tear down a house. Then you just have a vacant lot. And so what we can do with these vacant houses is that there's a great opportunity for Votech training, green space, modern weatherization projects and programs, good training ground to promote that social entrepreneurship so people can gain a skill, gain a certification, and go earn a living and have a sense of dignity about how they're living their life. Then that what we'll do is create a more pleasant environment where people actually want to come live in that environment. The houses are nice. The vacant lots are cleaned up. We put in pocket parks. We got trails. We got bike trails. We got connecting bus lines now. We have multimodal transportation, not just rail, but we got bus, taxi, other types of things as well. So now we have connectivity between these neighborhoods. I want to live in this neighborhood. I want to invest in this neighborhood. Then we have a sense of community, because now I want to protect this. And when we have common interests, then we'll begin to form common bonds. Well, on a technical level, though, what neighborhoods should do, neighborhood home associations, is form themselves as a CID, a community improvement district. And what that does is make you eligible for state and federal funding to do those infrastructure projects, but also will allow you to maybe even buy those properties that are abandoned in your neighborhood home association. You take ownership of those, and then you can lease those out, rent those out, and that money comes directly back to your community. You know, we do TIF, tax increment financing, and tax abatements for all these big corporations. Let's do it for homeowners. At the end of the year, instead of you paying your personal property tax to the city, why don't we give that back to you, and you put that as a reinvestment into your home? So we have tools and options in place that which we can empower people and begin to strengthen those communities. And once that happens, I think what will happen is something that I advocate for all the time, Mother Amin-Ra, and that is community policing. You cannot serve me. You cannot protect me. You cannot do right by me if you don't know me. And if all your perception of how I am is something you see on BET or MTV, you're definitely not going to want to build and establish a relationship with me. And we have a lot of police officers, a lot of public servants who may work for but don't live in and thus don't have a tie-in or buy-in into the city, into these communities in which they serve, which has been a big disconnect. When I was in middle school, the Rodney King thing went down. Now that I teach middle school, the Michael Brown thing went down. So obviously more police is not the answer. What we need is better policing, and I think we get that, but we have a mixed mode of that, some community policing, community engagement. But, yes, of course we need law enforcement. It's a vital part of our community, but we really need to reevaluate how we engage that in our community.
Excellent, excellent. I just wanted to, again, this is another, it's not a trick question, but it is something to think about. What
yes, ma'am.
Would be your opinion, you know, because I know obviously as a 5th district city council member, you're engaged in not just African-American issues or people of color issues or ethnic issues or, you know, very specific in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your opinion about autonomy and doing for self initiatives for Black African-American peoples or people of color in general? I'm an advocate for African Americans doing for self as much as Mexican Americans doing for self, Chinese Americans self. And so the objective of African American people being able to have a certain level of autonomy in, and you mentioned self-policing, but how would you connect with that or your I guess opinions with that in just the position of, you know, being a city council member?
Excellent question. First of all, my overall premise is dealing with the human condition. Because no matter what your race, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender, whatever, you get hungry, you get tired, you need shelter, you dream, you aspire, you want, you hope. So as long as government's role and civil servants' roles is just to protect the platform in which people can access that, that's great. I think anything more than that, anything infringing upon or telling you how to do that, I might have to push back on that. But then in regards to the group of people in which I belong, and that's African American, I think I would say two things to that. First of all, we have a perception problem. We do. We really do think that the other ethnicities are really just doing it so great and so big and so bad and so tough because we see clusters of ownership, clusters of movement. But I have friends that are as varied as the color on the rainbow. What I'm telling you is that the same issues that we face in the African-American community are the same issues they're facing in the Latino community, in the Asian-American community, in the Native American community, and that is disconnects between the generations and then also the disconnect between how times are changing and how we respond to them. Because in my mother's generation, you was told go to school, get an education, keep your nose clean, and you'll be able to get a job and take care of yourself. Now, that doesn't hold true. And so how we respond to that is even different. But what we can't lose are those commonalities, and that is people of color have had a consistent struggle to be recognized as equal and to have equal opportunity and representation from a justice standpoint, from a social economic standpoint, from an educational standpoint. And so we have to preserve that. But then there's something else, another side of that perception that African Americans, I think, sleep on, and that is if African Americans were our own nation, we'd be the 16th richest nation in the world. We generate $1.6 trillion of economic power, African Americans. So what that means is the Buy Black initiatives could really be strong if we support our own. HBCUs should not be going bankrupt or closing. But like I said, it goes back to that perception. If we don't value our own stuff, we're not going to support it or preserve it. And so we have to really address that perception issue. We really do. We cannot view ourselves through a Eurocentric standard and think that applies to us. It does not. It does not. And so I'm all for the bootstrapping. And if you don't have boots, let's go find some leather to go make you some. You get what I'm saying? And so whereas we had a division of William Edward Bernhard Dubois and the Booker T, we really need to amalgamate those two because we need to produce and build it, and we need to own it and manage it. You know, W.E.B. in 1930s, we're talking about how globalization was coming and how commerce was changing and how man deals with man on international terms, not just local and domestic terms. Well, that is the norm now. And so what we have to do is take our place in that world order. We have to take our place in that economy, and that is the things that we own, we produce, we support, we push. But it's not just the product, it's the supply chain. If we're going to buy black and support black, then we need to have a black manufacturer. We need to have a black wrapper and shipper. We need to have a black trucker and transportator. We need to have black oil when we're putting black gasoline in our cars. We need to have a black receiving dock. We need to have a black allocator. You get what I'm saying? If we're really going to really empower ourselves, then we need to put ourselves at every critical point in that supply chain and not acquiesce or compromise in our value. And I do believe we can do that. And that's not an anti-white, anti-anything situation. That is, let me take care of my home, take care of my people. But also, as we know, black people have been the rallying cry, the symbol for all struggles. Civil rights was a struggle for all people, not just black people. So we've never been exclusive. Our culture has always been inclusive. Even if we go back to the motherland, our culture has always been inclusive. So it's not an anti-anything, but it is about taking care of home and taking care of people.
I like what you're saying. I am sorry, but this is something refreshing. You know, you're actually, the paradox is this is common sense, but it sounds so revolutionary in that, you know, when you just citing the idea that we would be the 16th largest society,
16th richest nation, yes.
And it's all a matter of just coming together as a people and uniting that dollar value, that economy, that economic understanding. That is powerful. And so that is a wonderful response to that question. But also then going into diversity, speaking on that, I know that we often as community people, we talk about fringe ideas and concepts, and that can be oftentimes very controversial. I remember there was a rally and speaker that had come into town, and a very specific philosophy and idea, I suppose, came up. And that sometimes clouds ideas, but it's important. It's important that we have a voice in that. So I wanted to, mm-hmm. I suppose, talk to you and get your feel about the initiatives about gay and lesbian and even Family First initiatives with abortion and those ideas, what your comments and opinions are in regard to being a 5th District representative.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, those are very touchy and controversial issues, and I will not shy away from the controversy. First of all, let's talk about the gay and lesbian issues, the LGBT community. And I'm not saying this just because at one point in time I was vice president of the KC chapter for ACLU. I'm saying it because it's just real. Who you sleep with does not define you. And so once we can move past the childish high school cafeteria squabblings and gigglings about what you do at home in the privacy of your own home, then we can be able to get to real to business and really serve some people. I am not on a personal level. I'm a Christian, so I'm not for gay marriage. Marriage is a religious institution. I am for civic unions. I am for couples. Whoever your partner is, you should be allowed to leave them whatever you want to leave them in the manner in which you want to leave it to them. If that person was there by your bedside and they're there with you through thick and thin, and if you want to leave everything you have to that person as your last wish, you should be able to do that regardless of who or what they are. If you want to leave it to your goldfish, if it's yours, you should be able to leave it to your goldfish. And so I think at some points we just have too much intrusion upon us from government and from policymakers when there's a lot of other issues that we could be addressing that are more relevant. But then also from a standpoint of Family First and those other initiatives to preserve what we call the traditional family, I am not against that. But I am also aware that family has taken and has always taken a different connotation from something that is just traditional, especially being African-American and being a descendant of the slave tradition that was in America. Our families were broken up from the time we got to this port, so we've always had surrogate mamas, daddies, aunties, aunties. I'm a child of the village myself. You know, I have a lot of mamas, a lot of big brothers, a lot of sisters in this community. And so, and that's my family. So family to me isn't just defined by who's in your blood, but I do feel there are social, what do you want to call that, social encroachments upon what the traditional family is. I am for preserving that, but I am also for, in essence, just preserving people's right to have basic services, be on equal footing, and to be treated fairly with justice. And I don't think that's relevant of that doesn't matter what your demographic box you would check. But I will say this too, and this may tick some people off, but some issues are real issues. For example, if I'm black or if I'm in a wheelchair or if I have a major speech impediment, I can't hide that. And you know that. And you know people will treat you different because of that. To me, that's a civil rights issue. Now, the things that you do personally at home, the things that are about your free time, to me, those aren't civil rights issues. Because, for one, nobody really has to know what you're doing, when you're doing it, who you're doing it with. And I'm not saying have a cloud or a shroud of secrecy about you. Be you and be proud of who you are. But what I'm saying is that there are some things that garner a response that you can't hide, that you can't do nothing about, that are systematic, that you have to address. And I think if you get outside of those frameworks, man, then you're doing too much. You're doing too much. There is a history of people being mistreated and treated unfairly based on their sexual orientation, based on their color, based on their ability status, either being, you know, handicapped or impaired or whatnot. And that's a social justice issue that we need to address. But I think anything outside of that, anything outside of preserving the equal platform, there's other causes we can be addressing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you again so much. What we're going to do now is take a break. We're at our 30-minute mark. I'm going to play just a little music, and hopefully individuals will come in and call in. Again, the number is 347-989-8509. And what we'll do is have a little bit of a station break, and when you hear our broadcast, please call in. Press the number 1 if you have a question. But we're trying to encourage you all to listen. I know this was short notice, but we'll also broadcast this Saturday, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday for our up-and-coming election. And so we are listening to Edward Bell for 5th District City Council for Amen Communications Network. Okay, we are back from our brief break. This is Amen Communications Network, where we are able to post up anywhere across the country. Anyone can listen in live. And I can speak to anybody across the country live just by dialing on your smartphone or regular flip phone and hearing and communicating. And so the idea that our listeners can also listen in as well as ask any questions that they might have by pressing the number 1 on our switchboard, I will see it, I'll see your posting, and be able to allow you to ask a question. I also have a chat service that will enable you to post your questions in a text chat. And I will monitor that as well. And so I want to encourage you all to text in or call in and leave whatever interest or concern or question that you might have for Brother Bill. And we have running for 5th District City Council, Mr. Bart. I want to say Dr. Professor Edward Bell, but I'm going to bring him back on the air, and I want to encourage you all to participate in this discussion. We will also broadcast this, or there will be a rebroadcast Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, so I want you all to be posted up. I will try to schedule it at 5 o'clock all of these days, so that you will have a consistency of the time frame. But please listen into our archive of this show. Again, Mr. Edward Bell, running for 5th District City Council, is live and direct for our listeners to tune in and ask any questions that they might have.
Yes,
Brother
ma'am.
Edward Bell has a website. That's www.electedwardbell.com. That's electedwardbell.com. And you might want to peruse that site. If you have a request for information or for an appearance within this time frame, there is a section in the upper right of the site where you can post up. There's also an important date information on his site. There is leadership. His platform is also posted up that you can peruse and get information about. And Leadership Through Better Community Initiative. So talk to us a little bit more about your Leadership Through Service for Better Communities Initiative.
Yes, ma'am. First of all, the premise is, like I said before, I'm a Christian, so I believe in Jesus. I like his model, and that was he didn't set his disciples down and have them wash his feet. He set them down and washed their feet. And then he said, you see what I do for you? If you go do that out in the world, we could transform communities and change lives. And so with that being said, that's been the premise as far as the initiatives that I come up with. What are things that we can do that improve the environment in which we're in? Because all that's going to do is make everything better for us, the environment in which we're working and living, the actual green environment, but then also the actual contextual environment, whether it be a business environment, an educational environment, a social environment, as well as the people involved. And so what I did was try to come up with some initiatives and plans that we can do on the ground, not that pie in the sky mess, some things that we can do on the ground from day one. One of those is a fountain initiative. Kansas City is known as the City of Fountains. So what we can do is take every track and trade that it takes to make a fountain, create a certification program with that. And so there's, you know, be masonry, piping, plumbing, all kind of decor and design, electrical lighting, because the fountains can look like whatever. And we'll take these fountains and we'll sell them to other municipalities, other corporations, other entities that would like to buy into the Goodwill Project. And now the project becomes self-sustaining in two facets. One way is that now we've created a labor track so people can own the means of their labor by becoming certified and going to market their skills either to a union or to an employer or as an entrepreneur. But then secondly, we've sustained the program because now we have a money-generating project where we're selling these fountains. And so whereas the project may have started with a grant or with a little bit of love money, seed money, we've been able to leverage $1 into $2. So now the project is self-sustaining. Another project that we can do is what I call the Hanging Gardens Initiative. And really what it is a green initiative to preserve our natural environment and habitats. And so what I imagine and envision is a systematically and strategically placed large cisterns that collect water with intricate piping coming off to and fro, strategically running water to different types of vegetation in our urban garden. And so what we'll do with these urban gardens is then be form an urban garden market, and we'll have a community exchange where we can sell some of these produce, some of these fruits and vegetables, but then also have other people from the community who have a good or a service come in as well and sell their goods and services. And so now we have a community exchange that's really engaging people in a way that wasn't happening before. And so these are just a couple, because I don't want to monopolize the talk time, but those are just a couple of the initiatives that we could be doing to really make our community better.
Wonderful, wonderful. This is really exciting. And like I said, I really haven't heard this kind of discussion, which, like I said, should be common sense, but the initiatives of what we're – when we act locally – think globally, and take on the impetus of moving our children into STEM education, moving our future generation into green sustainable initiatives. To me, they go hand in hand, of course. But the objective of preparing a way that is environmentally responsible and putting our children in that type of collaborative boots on the ground
If I could just interject, you know, something that I'm always really pushing for is what I call mind to market initiatives. Things that start in your mind and you bring it to market to sell or produce. And something that we could do from an educational standpoint, you know, a lot of people say, well, your local government doesn't really have a lot of say in what goes on with public education and whatnot. And to some of that, that's true. But what we are vital partners that connect our educational systems to resources and to partners that can expand the quality and the range of the learning and actually give you a place and a space to apply the theory that you're learning in the classroom. And so what we can do is really form labs where you can come see if it works, per se. If you have an idea, let's see if it works. If you have a concept, let's see if we can produce it, mold it, and produce it. And we really need to identify the partners in our community who will allow us to form those partnerships to enhance the quality of learning that's going on in our schools as well as outside of our schools. And like I said earlier in the broadcast, you know, education is lifelong. Learning is lifelong. And so with that being said, we have, in my mind, a moral imperative and an obligation to provide opportunities for people to continue their education, because the better quality of citizen we get, the better quality of society we'll have.
Exactly, exactly. And so, again, the act locally, think globally concept, in that we are not just Kansas Cityans, but we should have some type of connection or ambassadorship, not only to our local environment, but to the globe. And just the idea of saying that here in Kansas City, we become the model and example for everyone. I mean, this is the Midwest after all. And so just being able to say that, you know, we can take a leadership position instead of reacting or following something under extreme, you know, emergency or those kinds of alternatives is something that, you know, I'm inviting. As an elder, yes, I do want to pass on to our children not just our problems but solutions. And so this is very important. This is pinnacle. But also just the idea that we can take the items instead of what I hear you doing is putting, much like the tennis shoe idea, you're putting right in our local hands of our young people these capacities instead of saying, well, now I'm going to wait till you graduate from high school and then we're going to ship you off somewhere else to have these experiences. You can have them right here. We need them
right here.
And we bring our children to a commitment to say, I'm going to live right here in my community, and I'm going to foster, you know, the change and transformation that needs to be done here, instead of a Detroit situation where you have this abandonment. It's tragic, and you know, people are moving away because they see hopelessness instead of opportunity. And so, so speaking on that, there is a pushback or a tug of war, shall I say, with the ideas of people wanting to return to the power and live around the Power and Light District. That the, all of a sudden we were doing the 18th and Vine Jazz District initiatives with Mayor Cleaver, and then all of a sudden that just stopped. And then we just built, you know, to me, I thought it was not economically sustainable to put an arena in town. In fact, in St. Louis, they tore down the arena that was there, or they had problems with that arena that was in town in St. Louis. Here we are, as a twin sister to St. Louis, building a new arena, having a Power and Light District, which also alienated and isolated a lot of the local businesses, minority businesses in particular. And now you have a return of people, you know, moving back. So would you talk about a little bit of that? I mean, I don't like to use the word regentrification, but I don't know what other word
is. But that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You know, I will say this. There is, in my opinion, and I mean, I haven't seen the documentation, but I believe there has to be some national plan or regional plans for this type of development. And when I say this type of development, I mean going in where the infrastructure base is better, more solid, more reliable, restructuring, revitalizing, refixing that, reshaping that, and taking those populations which are deemed undesirable and displacing them in other places in the city. And I've been watching it happen. It's been going on in other cities. It's not something that I typically or necessarily agree with. I definitely don't agree with it in methodology. There's nothing wrong with improving your downtowns and improving the urban metropolises of our city, but there's a way to do it, and there's a way to do it with dignity, a way to do it with respect, and a way to do it in a way that shows you value the citizenry that's around. I think it's wrong to systematically put people in a situation where they find that their dollars aren't stretching as far as they once were, and now they're becoming priced out of the life that they knew. I mean, there's something that needs to be said about that. There's something that needs to be done or addressed about how that happened. And it's beyond the fact that the actual price and cost of goods are going up and wages aren't, or not going up as fast as the price of goods. It's beyond that economic indicator. It's how deals are done, how benefits and instruments are used to benefit those who don't really need them, and how it's done at the expense of people who really does need the help. Here's an interesting stat, just to think about this on a national level. Last year, the top 1% earners in our country, the top 1%, made more than the cost of all social programs combined. So you can't tell me there's not enough. You can't tell me there's not enough. It's just how we distribute it.
Wow. Yeah, and yes, I mean, of course, that brings all the other ideas about, you know, the Illuminati or the elite and, you know, the bottleneck of our money. And I guess the pushback between the Republicans and Democrats on the federal level as well in this mix, because not only do we have this type of situation here in Kansas City, it's all over the country. They did the adjustable rate mortgages to everybody and got people upside down on housing. Then they lost those houses. And then, at least during the Barack Obama administration, they were able to freeze houses where people, or at least were able to remain or refinance. But we do still have that kind of this, you know, this blatant structuring where our people are just herded out. I mean, here in Kansas City, you know, I can say I remember long enough to where I actually worked for the Land Trust Department, and I remember when the highway was stenciled in for 71 Highway. It was just stenciled in, and I could see it stenciled in on top of people's houses in the map department. And now, you know, the highway's there, the houses were removed. I remember 12th Street and the housing project, and all those people were herded into South Kansas City. I actually came to Kansas City as some of the, I think there were three other African-American families in the Ruskin Heights area at the time. This was back in 1973, 74. And so from that point, now you have a majority of African-Americans pushed out to South Kansas City with none of the institutions are really there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to support that move.
Churches.
Right.
And then, so you have them abandoned into a suburban cluster, and then now all of the businesses are returned here. The houses are, you know, they just mark them as condemned, move the people out, and then all of a sudden they're not condemned anymore, and we can build up nicer units and property. And so, yes, we do need to tackle that, and that we should not have a return of segregation, but we should actually move towards mixed housing, mixed, you know, people with different economic backgrounds as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, so but let's go back, if I could, to talk more about an interest in green sustainable initiatives. And so the idea of moving towards alternative fuels, alternative
energy sources,
ways of and resources. How is the 5th District representatives, will you be able to implement those ideas?
Well, first of all, I know the 5th District is primed to be a regional leader in how we can utilize those technologies to transition to the future. We have the zoo, Swope Park, Starlight Theater, a host of community centers, and a plethora of places that can be converted into cyber cafes and technology lounges. So the pieces are already in place. It's about converting them and making them useful. I'm all for the solar panels. I love that concept. I'm just being honest. I love how urban gardens look driving through a metropolis. It's awesome. But then there are also other opportunities in which we can expand upon. I actually have a plan and drew up a cloud initiative. Actually, it's on my website, too. When you click on the tabs up top, one of the tabs will talk about my platform and the things I like to do, and there's documents that you can download or open up and look at. But I call it the cloud initiative, and I spelled it K-C-L-O-U-D, like KC Cloud, cloud initiative. And what it is, it's a way for us to provide Wi-Fi internet access to our residencies as constituents, as well as those outside of maybe even 5th District, and make some money for the 5th District. Because cloud computing is really just remote storage. All you need is a cool dry place that's connected to or have access to a high line of fiber optic cable. Well, old railroad tracks have fiber optic cable running through them all day. So you find you a basement close to some railroad tracks. You put you some remote store, remote servers over there that store the information, and all you do is you charge how many ever kilowatts per second, per hour, per day, per month. And so there's another social entrepreneurial project that's providing a service to our community, because especially where education is, a lot of the work is done on a computer or requiring internet access on a high school level and definitely a collegiate level. And so that is just something that we really need to be looking into providing for our community and our constituents as a whole, but then actually Kansas City too, because if we're going to be a tech-savvy city and a leading tech city, we should be having technology lounges, coffee shops with Wi-Fi, hotspots in certain areas. We should have that accessible, definitely at the community centers and the libraries in our district and our city. So, like I said, there are awesome opportunities for us to really expand how technology is utilized to transition us into the future.
That's wonderful. I, you know, of course, that is the future, and that is the vision of what we need. I'm sure that you have a lot of people who are younger that are going to be in favor of this. Would you explain to me what is your demographics or your borderline for your district?
Well, 5th District, it's quite a paradox. You wouldn't quite believe. Actually, 5th District has one of the higher rates of high education levels in the city. There are a lot of high school graduates and collegiate graduates, too, and I only know this through the TIF study surveys, because the TIF studies show how disproportionate those policies are used for areas that don't need it, and how areas who do need it are often neglected. So anyway, 5th District has a lot of professional residents, but there's also a gulf between the least of these and those that have. And so the demographic is varied. There are large African-American populations, large, but then also small pockets of other smaller demographics as well. Queen Mother, Amen Rob, may I have about 20 seconds of pause time real quick?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we are the Amen Communication Network, and we have on our broadcast today Edward Bell. He is running for 5th District City Council. So I want to conclude our discussion today with Brother Bell. So without any further ado, are you still available?
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually at another engagement, but I have about 10 or 15 more minutes I can give you, ma'am.
All right. Perfect. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to close out and conclude. I can read your phone contact information on the air if you have anything else that you would like to share for our audience.
Yes, ma'am. I guess one last message in conclusion is that it is so important that our voices are heard. We have to vote. We have to. I'm not just encouraging people to vote for me. If I'm not the candidate you like, that's fine. There are plenty other candidates and plenty other races that we need to get active, involved, engaged, and empowered in. Your voice cannot be heard if you don't vote. And I'll just say this, if you're not at the table, then that means you're probably on the menu. And so the only way to keep you from being on the menu is to make sure you're at the table. And the only way to be at the table is to vote. I'm running for honorable causes, really just to serve the public, to really help my community, to help restore those broken relationships, that distrust between our public and our public officials. And I also want to be part of something great, part of something special, part of something that means something. And there are a few things that I can think of that are greater than the opportunity than to serve your fellow man, to serve your community. I want the elders to feel like you can cash in on your investment that you made on those young people. And so that is, in short, the umbrella and synopsis of why I'm running. As far as contact information, my email is electedwardbell@gmail.com. My phone numbers are 816-213-8751 or 816-301-1489. Please feel free to call me, email me with your concerns, critiques, criticisms, whatever you may have, or creative ideas as well. But please share them. We need people engaged at the process, at the table, not on the menu. So you got to vote. In Kansas City, vote April 7th. That's our primary election. Tuesday, Super Tuesday. So go vote April 7th. Please, I'm encouraging you to vote. I'm asking, humbly asking for your vote. I'm Edward Bell, running for 5th District City Council. Please vote for me. But even if you don't want to vote for me, just make sure that you get up and go vote.
Wonderful, wonderful. Again, thank you so much for this impromptu engagement, and you have covered so much ground. And like I said, you know, this is something refreshing that I've wanted to hear for years from public officials. And, you know, hearing it from you lets me know that, you know, somebody is listening, somebody is putting the pieces together on solutions for our community development, and not just, you know, play acting or, you know, I just want to be in the limelight type of phenomena that we often find with political officials. So thank you again so much. And let me let you go back, and I know you're out here, you're campaigning, and
yes,
I just assure you that we will post this broadcast up tomorrow at 5 and Sunday at 5. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to email either electedwardbell@gmail.com or amen-communications or amencom. That's amen-comm at live.com for any questions, and I will direct those to our guest today. Thank you all for listening to our broadcast. And thank you again, Mr. Bell, for your presentation.
Thank
we'll
you, Queen
you
Mother Amin Ra. Appreciate you. Yes, ma'am. Take care.
All right. Take care. So, again, we have had a wonderful broadcast today with Brother Edward Bell. He is on the forefront of some of the things that I want to hear, that I want to see in our youth, and, you know, the promise of our youth, the promise of engaging our future, and the things that we need to put in place now so that we can have our dynasty. Most people who have sustainable lifestyle, they plan not a year ahead, not maybe 5 years ahead, but a decade, 50 years, 100-year plan. And so the idea of moving to a position of empowerment versus moving from a position of react and chaos is where we need to be thinking. We need to think in terms of our heritage and our inheritance. We need to practice a way where we can leave a legacy for our young people, that we have things in place for them to be engaged in and not be in a state of hopelessness. And so this is very promising with Brother Edward Bell. I want to thank you all for listening to our broadcast today. I am Quima Nutebek Sue, and if you have any other comments or questions, please feel free to give me a call, area code 816-304-7240. I appreciate any type of comment or critique or suggestion, even from you myself. Thank you again for listening. And we want to encourage our listeners to support this viewership of the Amen Communication Network. We are just a new up-and-coming radio network that we're trying to establish here, essentially talking about and sharing the small businesses, the green sustainable initiative ideas and concepts, urban agriculture, and other up-and-coming ideas that are, you know, on that edge of transformation and improvement for a future, for our young people. We work with at-risk youth through an organization called the Amen Par Ankh and Amen Ankh Enterprises. We also have as our father organization or parent organization, East Meets West of Truth. You can find that website, which basically encompasses many of our structuring and philosophy ideas, and that is www.emwot.ws for website instead of .com. But emwot.ws, this was an organizational structure that bridged the gap between the west side of truth, east side of truth, as a dividing racial line, And now we find that there are a lot of transformations that have occurred on truth, and we are looking at Prospect, and we're looking at Paseo and other areas that have been transformed. At this present time, we work with at-risk youth, we work with green sustainable initiatives, we work with economic, I call it economic literacy, in that I teach literacy and build up strength for people who do have, who want to better or improve their reading and writing skills, but I use the vocabulary of urban agriculture and economic language in the context of what we're reading. So I was inspired by Freeway Rick Ross to do a platform with his initiative, the Freeway Rick Ross Literacy Foundation. And here in Kansas City, I wanted to initiate a literacy program. The idea about a literacy program is that you can't write it down. In order to reach the people that need the shaping skills, you have to do it word of mouth. And so I'm in communications, became that verbal, auditory response to working with people who can listen in, like I said, right on the phone and ask questions and make comments and learn information and get links and references. But also for those who know, I'm sure someone knows of family members that might be struggling with reading and writing, and we could patch you in. I had started working with our organization and partnering with another organization called the KMD Foundation. KMD means Keeping Minds Developing. And so we are going to launch a summer program with adults and youth in literacy. One of the overall issues with our educational system is that our schools are graduating students that are functionally illiterate right out of the school system. They're socially graduated. We have situations like that. Share this information. Get in touch with Amen Communications. My email is amen-comm@live.com. That's live.com. You can refer that to me. I also have a public telephone number, area code 816-304-7240, where anyone can call in and get information and refer individuals. I am a reading specialist. I actually have my master's in education, special education, cross-categorical, which included exceptional education with gifted and talented. So the variety from autism and profound all the way to gifted and talented students. I found and encountered even brilliant students that had that needed tweaking with their reading and their literacy. So there's no shame to the game, but it is a level where you can enhance, increase tremendously in a brief period of time your capacity for reading and writing. And so I wanted to get in touch with our organization. Again, MWOT, EMWOT.WS. You can email Amen Communications, amen-comm@live.com, or you can Google the KMD Foundation. And we are opening for the summer a literacy program for adults. I also wanted to engage in a chess club for girls. And I was just profoundly inspired by several young girls who are genius chess players on a national level, and we are going to be bringing those young girls into Kansas City and allowing them to meet some of our young girls and perhaps build a sisterhood network of chess players. And the idea of playing chess is a game of life, but the idea is of enabling young girls to be able to travel the country to compete, to win in tournaments, and to build strategic skill is pinnacle. And so we are also trying to engage in launching that for the summer for our young girls. If you have any questions, you would like to be involved and participate, I could use your help. Please get in touch with Klima Nuzabek Sue and Amen Communications, Amen Ock Enterprises, the KMD Foundation, and let us know what you would like to do to participate and help us with that. We need chaperones. We need mentors in chess. And again, I would like to do all girls chess player tournament initiative, but also working with young men in chess. So what I would like to do is give you all these opportunities. There are enriching items and things that we can do. The Amen Ankh Enterprise is the umbrella for Amen Parankh, which is our spiritual center where we practice life-fulfilling initiatives, urban agriculture with our Amen Ankh Urban Farm. We just acquired a couple of vacant lots. We are working with the several neighborhood associations and growing food, creating community gardens, teaching young girls about herbs, you know, things that are growing already in the environment and foraging. And so these are some of the things that we are doing. This year we would like to do a hoop house for our vacant lot and actually have a shelter where we can have food year-round. We're also looking at orchards, actually having dwarf fruit trees that we will have in some of the vacant lots. So if you would like to participate and be involved or learn about agriculture, we also have tours, please contact me or contact our initiative. Again, KMD Foundation, the Amen Ankh Enterprises, and so contact our organizations and get up and get involved. Get your hands dirty. This is a pinnacle season for planting. We just had the vernal equinox, and we're coming into the summer solstice. So between now and the summer solstice, it's prime time for getting your seedlings together and learning about planting. You can do container gardens. You can do rooftop farming, you can vertical farm. There are so many things you can, and foods that you can grow in a small area. And so the idea of getting out and getting your hands dirty and connecting with nature is primary. And I will conclude with this message. I will be editing this broadcast and posting up again. Listen to it again. It will be available 15 minutes from now. But I will also download and edit it and repost it so that you will have a fresh, you know, copy that is free from any kind of distractions. So, again, thank you for listening. And this is Klima Nuzabek Sue with Amen Communications, Amen Ankh Enterprises, Amen Parankh, the Sacred House of Life, signing out.
We make your mud pies. It's a recipe with Dirty D speaking peace into people's lives. These words are ride or die for all our time. We define life through rhyme, digging deeper in the shallow minds. Third eyes wide to defeat evil with peaceful lines. In time to eternally survive. Bye, bye. Inner peace.
I can feel my heart beating, boom, boom, pulsating with the rhythm, living art, breathe inspiration to those who feel them, leave a lasting impression, witness my steel, picture the scripture, let you appeal, they drawn to my magnetism, the skill in this mic I wield, handling aphorisms like double-edged blade of steel, straddle the fence, a duality with every verse, see challenges rip, then renew vitality with words, a sacred bond between life and death, that's what I hold, your heart in my palm, circulate breath through the microphone, emotions on call, responding to what's been told, I capture it all, full of emptiness, just like the hole, the black knight, seldom seen, but always visible, shining like armor on these streets, and in the city, you've given you vivid truth and hopes, you bold enough to grow up, display brilliance on stage, every way when I show up, come on, come on.
Potholes running in black holes with lost souls. Tread to the road, loving, living, and letting go. Karma full circle, naked as my soul unscrolled, putting my laundry out for show. So folks can criticize my life because they think they know my pick and roll as I flow ducking toes. Without an ounce of gold, I'm getting paid on this road. I paved it to feel whole. It's a metaphor. Source explored. Talk intact, destined to be an artifact. Anything you use is using you. You're here to find what you came to do. Only then will your heart be true. One love blooms, kiss from the womb. Conversation is a gift. Temples riff like a myth of incense in the upper room. No pride, calm mind, I scribe the psalm with a Buddhist palm. Making arms, putting mind over matter, speaking to the immortal. Oh.